The days have grown shorter, and the dead grow bolder. In the ashes of a forgotten city, Jay and his ragtag family cling to survival in the charred remains of an old church that they now call home. But safety? It's an illusion. Supplies are low, tensions are high, and something sinister watches from beyond the broken stained glass windows. Aiden wants to help. Torka smells blood on the wind, and CC's radio just crackled with a name that they haven't heard in weeks. This is Havenwood, and it's about to be tested. Well, hi, hello, everybody. My name is Turk. Welcome back to the Grouch Couch. And welcome back to One Guy, One Die. We are finally continuing with our Walking Dead solo TTRPG series. Today is episode 8. Now, it's been a few weeks since I've recorded this here series, so to pay you guys back, what I've actually done is I've assembled all of the main lore and events and things that have happened here in our campaign thus far and put it on a Google Doc, and you could find it down in the description of this video. I'm going to do my best to continue to update it as we play each episode. So if you want a little bit of a recap of what's happened, maybe some inventory or an NPC or anything else like that, please do check out that Google Doc because it'll totally fill you right in on everything. I've been reading the comments on the last video, and I know a lot of you guys were worried that episode 7 was the end of the series. It wasn't. I was just taking a little bit of a break because I was working a lot of other projects with the Grouch Couch, and I really just wanted to come back and do one more episode 8 episode before we do take a big break from this series for a little while. After this, I am going to come back with more episodes, probably in fall, you know, in October, whenever zombies, I start feeling it again. But for now, this will be the last episode of this year's arc. So this episode might actually be a little bit longer because there's a lot of things that I want to try to accomplish in our story. And if it is a little bit intimidating, remember you could always pause the video and come back later, anything else like that. But this is the beginning of the video, so I have no idea how long it's actually going to run for. But you know, as another update from me, my solo series is now officially called One Guy, One Die. And you can actually listen to this bit series on everywhere you get your podcast, Spotify, and stuff like that. I had some folks who requested an audio-only version, so it's up there. You can check it out. And here through the summer, I'm actually going to be starting a new solo campaign using Starforged. It's going to be an all pen and paper kind of physical style game that I'm doing, and I'm kind of excited for it. So if you want something to listen to while you're waiting for this series here to pick back up, make sure to check out Starforged. You'll be able to check it out on the channel. And of course, it's going to be a solo series with me telling a story much like this one. All right, and also, you know, like, share, and subscribe, all the other YouTube jibber-jabber. I think that's enough updates from me, so why don't we get into the story, why you're here. Alright, the story of Havenwood. Let's get back into it. So because it's been about a month since I updated and recorded last time, I've actually completely updated all of my notes, and I also have them on my Foundry here, but you can check them out in the Google Doc. But I think it's a good time for, you know, us to go over our threads a little bit and talk about where we're at and what I think our characters need to try to accomplish in this here episode. So from the top, we don't know what's going on with Jesse and Aiden's parents. We have no idea. We still have Letitia out there in the world. Can she be recruited or can she be trusted? I was re-listening to an episode and I was like, she really wants that type of food that she wanted. And I was like, I wonder if we bring her some food, if maybe she'd be down to join us. But we also have some threads that she's likely the daughter of Jamie Thornton. And Jamie Thornton could actually be a prisoner that is tied to Jay's father, because we know that Jay's father is alive. But we don't know where he is. We do know he has something to do with prison, though. We need to learn more about Torka's tribe. And there was actually a fantastic comment from Homeless Bacon. Welcome, my friend, to the show. Homeless Bacon said, we need to see if we can find an unhinged faction, criminals and stuff like that, and they could be a part of Jesse's old gang, which could also join Jesse's old gang, could have something to do with Jesse's father and Jamie Thornton, and this could be just a whole faction. And I'm wondering if we might figure out more about them if we head to the hardware store, which we do have thread here. We have it in our locations section, the hardware store, an ex-military man, a tattooed survivor lives inside. Angela Bailey told us about it via radio, and our narrative hook here is that he could be a potential recruit or an antagonist, and he could help us with tools or barricade materials or anything else like that. But if we do remember, he did also say that he wants to rebuild, not just survive. And I don't know what that means, and I don't know if I trust this guy, if I'm being completely honest, so we're gonna roll some dice on that. But if we do also want to tie everything together even more, this prisoner tribe could have something to do with Torka. America's old tribe, but we do know that the Yaw faction, which I do have here, the Yaw faction, they've been mentioned multiple times, and Torka has a personal grudge against the Yaw faction. We don't know a lot about them, but I definitely want to delve into something they got going on, because that this Yaw faction is a threat to us here in this town. We know that they're here, so we're going to figure out what the heck they got going on, because I'm worried. I'm going to do it here on this episode, but I'm going to roll right at the top to see if anything has happened overnight, or to see if anything has happened since we last played at the Haven itself. Random events kind of style. And these factions could pop up, and they could start raiding us, attacking us, stuff like that. So we need to learn more and recruit more people. It's very important to do that. So, what exactly do we want to accomplish in this episode? So first of all, it would be great if we were able to find kind of a new resource location, because as we have it right now, we know that our characters have kind of been surviving on like blackberries in the surrounding bushes, and also just like some old pickles and stuff that they had found in the church whenever they got there. We currently have a freezer that is hooked up, and it's in the church. They got it in there, and they got it hooked up, and I'm actually going to roll a dice to, not to see if we have electricity, because I'm going to say that we do, because we're still earlier on in the apocalypse, but I want to roll a dice to see what the quality of that is, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Because our second thing that we need to do, not only find some kind of food resource, but also to upgrade Havenwood itself, and I think that we'll be able to salvage solar panels from the mall, or even maybe from other places around here. So, and I also think that Aiden is still the little brother. He's still trying to prove himself, and he wants to, you know, have his own arc and his own stuff going on, because I think over time, because again, I don't know how long we're going to do this series for. Could be a long time. I think Aiden's going to kind of become a real hardcore main character here. He's, if anything ever happens to Jay, hopefully it doesn't, Aiden's going to kind of take over. And so I want to learn more about Aiden, his attitude and what he thinks and kind of what his skills are, you know? So I think that's going to be very important. So before we get started on our adventure today and try to accomplish things and go out on a run and stuff like that, I want to know how things have been going here at Havenwood, because we have this freezer, but we're running out of food and tensions are high and things are kind of evolving. More zombies are kind of growing, you know, the apocalypse is worsening every single day, and we need to get set up before things get too bad. And I want to know how things are going. But I think the first roll I want to make is I want to know if Havenwood has actual power. I want to know if it's running on a generator, or if there's power that leads to Havenwood, or if there is power, but it's just kind of sketchy. It goes in and out. Maybe there's something going on at the power plant that could be messing things up. You know, just stuff like that. And to do this roll, I'm actually just going to roll a D100. And the lower the roll, the better the power. So our first roll of episode 8, here we go. That's a 61. So it's kind of middle of the road here. Over a 50 means yes, we do have power, but it's not that great. And so I want to ask a fake question. We didn't find a generator whenever we first originally searched the church. So I'm thinking that we're just on city power. But if it's a 61, that means that it's kind of in and out. And it's not that great city power. Like, there's something going on to city power. And so I want to just ask, is that what's going on? We're going to call it a 50-50. Yes. Okay. So we have power, but it's just not. Which means that securing solar panels for Havenwood would not only help us in the long run, but it will help us kind of where we're at now. It kind of means that the radio tower can only be used sometimes, and now we're also putting a freezer on it, which means we're taking more power to secure our food and keep things cold. So that's kind of that. So before we go out on our next run, I'm thinking it's been about a day or so. They've gotten the freezer hooked up. They've got everything barricaded back up. Things are chill. I think CC is still on the radio trying to contact people, see if there's anyone out there. And I think that Aiden has been gathering up blackberries from all around the surrounding area, doing a pretty good job doing that. I think that Jay has been double checking his car, making sure his car is going to be running okay for a little while. I don't really know what Torka would be up to in his downtime. I think kind of just helping everyone out best that he can, because he's that kind of guy. But I'm going to roll a fake question, and I want to know if any kind of random event has happened. If, you know, raiders, or we've gotten calls, or anything like that. Has there been some kind of random event? And since we haven't had one yet, I'm actually going to call it very likely yes. So there is something that has happened over the past day or so that we need to talk. What is our random NPC action? Deceive? Illusion? Okay, so if it's an NPC action, this means one or two things. Someone either called in on the radio, or someone has shown up. And I'm going to do a fake question here. If it's a no, someone has shown up. If it's a yes, someone called in on the radio. And I'm going to call it more leaning towards radio because that's kind of like the new thing that we have going on here. So, did someone call in on the radio? Yes. And we also got a 77, which means random event. And the way that I'm currently playing, just so everyone knows, is I've just raised my chaos factor all the way up. So if we ever roll doubles ever, it's going to mean random. That's more fun for me. Just if we ever get doubles. I love random events. I feel like it's the juice of the Mythic game. I did a Mythic review and how to play recently. You can check it out on the channel, and I talk about how much I love random events. So we got another random event on top of this, which is remote event, carelessness, and exterior factor. And we were just talking about the power. This is a remote event, so something that happens somewhere else. So we don't even really get to know all the details of this, but this could have something to do with the power. And since it was yes, that means that someone has called in on the radio deceiving us with illusions. They're lying. They're calling us and they're lying about something. Okay, so someone calls in on the radio, and I've updated our NPCs list so we can just roll on this. This is a D7, if it'll let me. We've got Letitia, Angela, Jamie Thornton, who's still kind of unconfirmed, but he's out there. We've got Vicky R, which is Jay's ex from the other town over, if you remember. We've got Hardware Store Guy. We don't know nothing really about him. We've got a faction. So if I roll faction, it's going to be a faction calling out, and then a new random image I put in. So who calls in on the radio? Before we paint out, Letitia Thornton. What does Letitia Thornton want? Well, first of all, Deceive illusion. I rolled on the actions discovery meaning. Move freedom. If we know a little bit about Letitia Thornton, we know that Letitia Thornton, she's at that glass factory. So move freedom. She's calling out to us, deceiving illusion. Move freedom. Okay, this took me a bit, but I think I have an idea. And first I want to paint the scene as I usually do. So everyone's doing their thing around Havenwood as normal. And our camera's going to pan down to Cece up top, second floor. She's messing with the radio, just calling out like she normally does every day. Whenever the powers work. And she says, calling out to everyone, this is Sierra Andrews calling in from Havenwood, just seeing if anyone's out there or needs help. And then she releases the button and she waits for a little bit and she writes down in her journal, like, you know, day 7, still no callback. She writes down the channel number. And as she's writing down the channel number, I think Letitia's voice comes through the radio. And Cece hasn't ever heard Letitia before, so I think when the voice comes through the radio, down below we see Aiden and his ears perk up and he runs up the ladder to get to Cece to kind of be involved in this conversation. And as the voice comes through, I think it sounds scripted, like almost perfect. Like, hello, I am ready to join you. Please come and find me at the glass warehouse. And Cece pushes the button. She's like, come again? Who is this? And Aiden like nudges her and he's like, that's Letitia. She's my age. And then it comes through again and it says, hello, I'm ready to move. I'm tired of being alone and want freedom. And the word freedom is kind of like in a different tone. You know, please come and find me at the glass warehouse where we last met. And I think that it's like big time obvious that this is some kind of a trap and there's something going on. But Cece just calls back and she goes, okay, Letitia, we'll be on our way soon. Just hang tight in there, sweetie, okay? And then she doesn't call back. But what I want to do actually now is I want to pull up Cece's chart here and I want to see if she really understands what was said. And I'm going to roll a wits. And I just want to get one success with C. This is our first stat roll of episode 8. Hoo-ha! That's one success. So she picks up that whenever Letitia says freedom, it was in a different tone of voice. And she doesn't really understand what that means, but she understands that everything else was weird. And so she had to have been talking in code. And she writes down everything that she said and underlines freedom in her journal. And then her and Aiden go to Jay with this journal, tell him about what's happened. Oh, and I was thinking too much. I forgot that there was another random event that it was carelessness, external factors. I think that the reason that Letitia doesn't call back the third time is because the power goes down again. Something going on with the power. And it kind of frustrates Cece a little bit. And she's like, gotta figure out this power thing so I can actually talk to... We need more information. She was like mad about it. So before they head down to talk to Jay about everything, she gets a little frustrated. So as they're heading down to meet up with Jay, I think at this point, Jay is already up doing something. And I think that he is talking to Torka. And Jay's like, hey, I've been thinking a lot about this hardware store thing, and I think I want to go check it out. I want to scope him out, because we don't know if this is one guy, if he's got a group, you know, if they're not cool. And it's a little ways across town, and I don't really want to take my car. I was wondering if I could take your van, because I could get in your van, and I know there's a bed in there, and that's kind of where you have been sleeping, because there's no beds or furniture here in Havenwood, which we really kind of need to figure something out. So, the hardware store could help us out with some wood to be able to build our own beds and stuff. But if you'll let me, I would love to take your van, because it's also got a workbench in there so I could fix things. I want to take your van so I could sleep in it and take some time to actually scope out this area on the other side of town and figure out these people, you know, so I don't have to rush right back. What do you think about that, Torque? And he's like, look, man, you're going to go by yourself, man? You know, there's a bunch of us, like, that's, you know, that's not really kind of how we operate anymore. You're not a solo guy anymore. We're a family. Family survives together. And he's like, I know, but there's so many projects that need done here, and really, I want to leave you guys here to work on those projects while I go and do things. So when I get back, God, the Game Master, can actually roll a dice to see if you guys accomplished those projects and tasks that really need done around Havenwood, because we really need to upgrade this place, man. And also, I don't want to take my little brother, because he's not ready, you know, and I don't want to leave him alone here, so if you three stay and I could go. And Torque is like, okay, I mean, yeah, I guess we could work that out. That sounds okay, you know? You're kind of right. We do need to fix things. And as he says that, that's when Cece and Aiden come down the stairs and across the church to this back room, and Cece fills Jay in on everything that just happened on the radio. And Torque is like, oh, man, we met Letitia, me and Aiden, on our run, man, and she seemed kind of cool, but she really didn't want to come stay with us, so it's kind of weird that she would say that, man. I mean, it could be a trap or something, man. And Jay's like, look, if it is a trap, that's a little girl that needs our help. She's been alone in the apocalypse this long. I'm sure she can handle her own, but we have to try, you know? We can't just leave her there. So if we know it's a trap, we need to go in prepared. And what kind of trap could this even be, honest? And in my head, you guys can let me know in the comments what you think this kind of trap could be, but in my head, I think someone seeing that we talked to Letitia, and maybe that's why on the run with Aiden, it was so easy just to get there, because things had already been cleared out. There was already people in the area. Some kind of a faction, could even be the Yah faction that was stalking, and they seen that we got close to Letitia, and so they have gone in there, they've captured her, and I think that they have forced her to call back to us on the radio. What does freedom mean? I don't really know right now, but I think that's what's going on. And I'm wondering if Jay and the team together could put all that together. I think that they can, or at least that's what they think is going on. What's really going on, I don't know. And you guys can leave ideas in the comments, but I want to do a fake question, and I want to call it nearly certain that they can put all that together when they put their heads together and talk. Yeah, that's an 80. So they do. They figure it out, and I think they're all going to sit on the floor, and they're going to talk about it. And Jay's like, so we got to be prepared. I mean, we've got a crossbow and a machete. If we're going up against the Yah faction, we'd see they kill people, make art out of the faces. And, you know, I think if Letitia's made it this far on her own, I think she'll be okay. Just for a little bit more time, we can get our resources together and we can go, all of us together. We can take them down and we can save Letitia. But before we can do that, I want to go on a run, and I want to go to the hardware store, and I want to scope it out. I want to see what's going on with this guy and see if maybe he can help us. See, I mean, if he wants to live and not just survive, I mean, maybe something. So I was already talking to Torka, and he's going to let me take his van, and I'm going to go for a day or two. Well, you guys stay here, and we need more food. We don't have seeds. We have these blackberries. And Aiden, I don't want you running around all over them fields back there. We need to replant those blackberry bushes right in our yard so we can start some kind of a farm here. So while I'm gone, that's what you're going to do. We're going to be replanting as many blackberry bushes in our fences that we can. And Torka, you're going to get out there, and I want you to go around all the fences just to see if there's any holes. I want you to reinforce them. I think there's a gate that goes out the back towards the homes, like the residential area. And then the front area of the parking lot doesn't have it's just kind of open, but it leads to the main road. It runs along to the mall. So we can't do anything about that yet, but you're going to go in the back and reinforce that back gate and everything else and get us a nice farm area set up. You're going to work with Aiden. Don't leave him alone. And also, while I'm gone, Cece, there are room in Haven. So we have the large open main hall that's currently our sleeping space. No bed. We have the library, quote unquote, that I mentioned that was vandalized with fire. We have the office that is kind of CC's radio workshop now. That's where her radio is. It's upstairs. We have the storage room that's full of old music gear. We have the youth room, which we found pickles in, and we have the gravesite out back. And we're going to keep the gravesite. It's going to be like a gravesite and then like a farming area next to it. And so Jay's going to be like, we shouldn't all just be sleeping together in this big old room. You know, it's not safe. We need to change up the youth room back there. Put up like some temporary sheets, some walls, whatever we can find, to be able to give us all our own little private spaces that we can sleep in that youth. And that's where we're going to build our bed. And I want you to just start cleaning up. I know you're calling out on the radio every day. She's like, yeah, but the radio is important. I need to talk to the people. And he's like, I know, do it once per day. There's no stopping. Other than that, I want you to clean up that. So then whenever I get back from this run, I'm actually going to roll on all of these things to see if these guys were able to fix things up and stuff. And I know it's kind of fucked up to work on our own home site while Letitia's out there possibly suffering, but I really feel like if we go right now against the Yaw faction, who knows how many of them there are. There's at least, we've seen 10 of them at the fair, so there's at least 10 of them, and they had better equipment than we did. If we remember, they sniped out a bunch of zombies, so they have guns, and so if we go now, it'll be the end of our story. So we really can't do that, but we can start preparing. We can know and give her a few days. So now that all that is said and done, Jay is going to gather up his supplies, and he's going to pack them into Torka's van. And I actually want to see if anyone else has anything of use that might be able to give it all to Jesse. He has stuff that he needs while he's out on. So I'm going to pull up all the character sheets. Aiden has his crossbow, and I think Jay's going to ask for it, because having something long range like this is going to help him a lot, especially since his axe broke previously. Having this crossbow is going to be really good for him. And Aiden has the binoculars. He's going to keep those because he's going to need them while he's here keeping lookout. CC is the only one with a gun. CC has a pistol that she kind of came with. She also has a flashlight, which I think we're going to give over to Jesse. She can keep her basic medical gear to take care of everyone while he's gone. Torka has a spear and a sword, and that's kind of it. So, I mean, that's everything that we've got. So now Jesse's got his hammer, close range, his crossbow for long range. He's got those lockpicks, which we got like episode one or something. He's still got those. He's got signal flares as well, in case he needs them. We've got a flashlight. We've got a stash of drugs and medicine just from his olden days. I think that's in his car, actually. So he's not going to have it with him, but it's going to be in his car. But I'm going to keep it on there just so we remember that. And I've got on his character sheet two rations. Everyone just remember that this is like a baggie of frozen blackberries, because we're freezing the blackberries now to keep them fresh for longer, because we have the freezer. So that totally works. And I actually have to check my Google Doc because I wrote down how much gas the van had. I don't have it here in Foundry, but I have it over here. Torka's van has a bedroll, a desk with tools and electronic straps. It also has the bullet necklace hanging from the mirror. And it has less than a quarter of a tank of gas because we just delivered the freezer. Which means that if we go on this mission now, what I'm going to say is, in my head it makes sense that if we drive this car now, we can get to the hardware store, but we're going to have to find gas before we can get back. And so hopefully we don't lose Torka's van, because I don't think he'll ever forgive us, but we're going to do our best. And I forgot to give him experience from the last one, so that actually puts him at 6. And I'm going to see if I can use anything to level up before we go. I'm just looking through the book real quick to make sure I level up right, but gosh, walkie-talkies, how handy would those be? My goodness, we need some freaking walkie-talkies. Oy. I'm also going to mention how much I hate the way that this Walking Dead book is organized. It's so annoying to look through all of these things. It's so annoying. I'm just going to say, like, I review a lot of TTRPG books. One thing I didn't mention in my review of this book is how annoying it is. Anyways. Bro, I looked through the whole thing and still literally couldn't fucking find how to level up. So, I just Googled it, if that says anything to y'all. So, anyways, we got 5 experience the last session because we participated, we sacrificed something to achieve a goal, we lost our axe, we learned something about the world, the butcher shop, we learned something about another PC, which was Torka and his backstory, and also we triggered our key relationships, drives, and anchors by helping to build up, you know, everything. So we got 5, now we can actually spend, we could spend 5 XP to level up an attribute, or a skill. Or we can learn a new talent. And so I actually want to look through the talents to see if there's anything else that makes sense for our backstory before we go out on this. I think suppressive fire is really cool. You can attack up to 3 enemies with the same attack when you use ranged combat, but they all take 1 less point of damage, and you can't add damage from extra successes. That's really cool. But I don't think thematically Jay hasn't trained with the crossbow or with guns or anything, so that really doesn't make sense. So that'll be one for someone. I think Skullcracker does make sense. Gain a +2 to close combat when you fight walkers. You took on a group of walkers and came out on top. We did actually fight walkers whenever we were retrieving that freezer, so I think he learned a lot. And so we are going to take Skullcracker. Okay, so we've spent our experience, all 5, and now my guy's got Skullcracker. All right, so we're all prepared. And I think they all gather around the van outside, and Jay turns to everybody, and, you know, he gives Torka, like, a firm handshake, and he's like, hold down the fort while I'm gone. Look, if I don't make it back, just promise me that you'll take care of my boy, and you'll keep things going, keep things positive, you know? And Torka's like, I mean, yeah, you know, I'll do my best, but you're gonna be fine, man. Get out there, come right back, everything will be good. And then he gets on a knee and he gives his little brother a hug, pats his head a little bit, and then he looks at Cece and he's like, if I find a way to call you back on the radio. Wait a minute, doesn't our main car have a radio? I mean, it's not like crazy long range like what Cece built, but it should still work, right? Maybe we could take it with us, and if we find a way, we could upgrade it to make it even more long range. So I'm actually going to back up a bit. I think while he's talking to Torka, I want to see if Torka used his tech skills, because he does have that, right? He used his tech skills to move the CB radio out of Jesse's car and into the van, a stress dice. But that was one success, yeah. So he turns back to me and he's like, hey man, so I managed to move the radio. So if you get into any trouble out there, or if anything happens here, you know, we can communicate a little bit. It's not long range though, man. Like Cece told me, it's gonna need an upgrade. So if you go too far, and also it might be hard to hear each other. So, but keep it on. He's like, oh, thanks Torka. I don't know why I didn't think about that days ago. Good work. And then I think he also gives Cece a hug, and he's like, you're the brains around here, you know, so keep things going. She's like, of course, I will. And he's like, I've enjoyed your company being here, so I just want to say thanks, and if I make it back from this whole thing, I know that we can't really go on, like, a date in a normal sense, but I might be able to work something up, you know? And she's like, Jesse, are you trying to ask me out on a date in the middle of the apocalypse? And he's like, yeah. And is she gonna say yes to this, you know? And this kind of gives him like a drive. I'm gonna call it nearly certain, but we'll roll on it. Exceptional yes. Cool. She looks at him and she goes, I've enjoyed your company too, Jesse. You get back safe and we'll talk. And I think she kisses him on the cheek and he blushes a little bit. And then he gets in the van and he starts it up. And he's off. And I actually want to roll. So we're gonna start driving through the city. And this is Jesse's hometown. So he knows where this hardware store is. He knows that it's past the mall, like around it and on the other side. So we don't really get to get a good look at the mall on this run here. But it is still a big plot point. But we're going to go around it. And I want to roll to see what the weather's like as we're driving through this thing. Weather, D6. It is windy. Roll again. Another 6 means that it's a storm or extreme heat or cold.
Ooh.
What? We got windy twice. And it says, if you roll 6 twice, that means extreme heat or cold, and it's a storm. So as we're rolling into the city, it's gonna start storming like crazy. I picture, like, he sees the clouds, and as he starts driving into it, he can see there's, like, lightning and rain, and it's just pouring all over the car, and he's got the windshield wipers on, and this is the apocalypse, so the roads are still full of, like, old broken cars and dead bodies and, like, probably some walkers that he needs to navigate. And Jesse's really good at driving. He actually gets a +2 when he drives his vehicle, so we're actually going to roll just to see if he can navigate all of this stuff. He has a 9, just needs to get 1 success here. He got 3 successes, so he is killing it. He's driving through the storm, he's doing a good job, and I think he's thinking in his head, he's like, this rain may suck, but it's going to be good cover for me to get into the town without no one seeing. All right, and as we're driving into town, before we get to this hardware store, I want to see if any kind of random event thing happens whilst we're driving to the hardware store. So we're going to do a 50-50 on the fate just to see if there's any kind of event that happens or if it goes like normal. And actually, we could roll a scene alteration to see if anything happened. 5. Scene was altered. Okay, so something does happen. Remote event. Move enemy. Oh no, something happens in the remote. Oh, something already popped into my head. On the radio, before Jesse makes it to the hardware store, Cece calls him and she's like, Sierra Andrews for Jesse J. And he pushes in and he's like, call back for Jesse. And she's like, Aiden was up on the bell tower. He's got his binoculars. He's doing a good job, you know, keeping a lookout through the storm. And he's seen some movement out there. Did he see? Okay, so this will answer our question. Did he see the Yaw faction, very likely, moving through the storm to the glassware? Exceptional yes. So she says, and we were right on our theory. It looks like the Yaw faction is doing something in the glass warehouse. Aiden's seen some movement over there, and he thinks that it's them. And he's like, okay, well, just keep an eye out, you know? I'm only, like, I'm going to say this is like an hour drive away from them. But in the apocalypse, he has to drive slow because of the roads and everything. So it's probably about 2 hours. And he's like, I'm not too far away. Keep me posted. And as he keeps driving, her voice is kind of starting to cut in and out. And he just hears like, oh, set, right, over and out. And he's like, I didn't hear what you said, but see you soon. Okay, so as we're pulling around this road, I want to know what this hardware store looks like. Is it boarded up? Does it have like barbed wire? You know what I mean? Does it have defenses? Does he see people? I know he's going to be driving real slow and he's just going to be looking as hard as he can to kind of see what he can see. And I want to do some descriptors. Trained, active. Okay. And we're going to roll a scouting roll. No bonuses. He's got one success, so he can see pretty well. And we've got trained and active. Trained and active. So there's more than one guy for sure. Because it's active. Unless active means zombies. It's fake question time. 50-50. A no, it's other people that are trained, like military. And if it's a yes, it's zombie. It's a yes. So it's active with zombies. So that means that our trained descriptor here means that the guy or whoever it is inside of the hardware store is used to this, right? And we know that they're military trained, right? They're covered in tattoos and shit like that, like old army tattoos. So we know that this guy's got some training going on. But trained to me means that he has indeed set up barbed wire. There's like some serrated metal underneath the windows. Maybe there's like spotlights over the front. You can see like the walkers. Is there an electric fence? I'm going to call it likely. Yes. So there's an electric fence and these walkers are like walking up to it and getting zapped and like falling down. And you can see them in the lights as the rain is like pouring and it's dark outside. But you can see these walkers and they have lights, which means they have better power than us. And they have an electric fence. Maybe their electric fence is what keeps ruining our power, the bastard. We got 3 successes on our mobility check. So Jay's going to pull this van around. I'm wondering if he can pull it into a parking lot, camp it there. But in my original mind, I was thinking there'd be like a foresty area, like around this hardware store. You know, like a lot of hardware stores have like old piles of like wood and like other kinds of stuff, like off around the back, you know, like extra inventory. And I think there's something like that going on around the back of this place. And he's going to pull his van around there all quietly. He's got his lights off. He got 3 successes on his mobility. This is what he's good at, right? So he's pulling it around, and he's going to park his van around the side of this hardware store. This place is active. It's got zombies, which means it's got noise. And so Jay's going to pull out his hammer. He's going to pull out his crossbow. He's going to call out to the guys. He's going to say, I've made it to the hardware store. Going in now. And he's going to hang up the CB radio. He doesn't know if they heard him or not. He is out of range. Oh, he should. I just did that on a whim, but maybe he shouldn't have did that, because if hardware store guy has a radio, he hears them. But whatever. As we get out, there are like piles of wood and like big old piles of rocks, you know, like hardware stores and stuff have, and like old tractors and stuff like that that are all just like stacked around back here in this like area. And he's going to start navigating around it, and he's got to get up to the hardware store to find this guy to talk to him, right? Or at least scope him out. Find if there's a window. That's what we're hoping for. But let's see if there was any kind of scene alteration. Scene proceeds normally. Okay. So he's going to sneak around. We're going to roll stealth, which is an 8. Really good. We do have lockpicks, don't we? We just need a success. That sucks. So we got a 0. Oh, but what if Jay's sneaking around the back? Because like, we already have an enemy, right? It would be really good if we could have another ally in this storm here. Because we could figure out who the heck this guy is. My first initial thought was he's sneaking through all of this stuff. And he gets close up to the house. To the hardware store. Like the back entrance. And a motion activated light turns on. Right on him. And he's like, ah! And he's just standing there on the concrete. Like as he was sneaking across. And the light comes on. And then he runs over. And he's going to hide behind some barrels. And then I think there's going to be like a little, you know, most hardware phones, like they can talk over the register. You know what I mean? Like call out to people who need whatever, whatever. And so through one of the speakers, there's a voice. And I want to roll motivations here, conversations. I'm going to roll some descriptors just to see how this guy sounds, kind of what's going on here. He's found us. He knows that we're here and we're investigating him. So hopefully this goes better than we think. Okay, so conversations, loving, helpless. I kind of want to roll motivations as well, but maybe not yet. Loving, helpless. I wonder what this guy sounds like. Voice descriptors. Resourceful and generous. So maybe kind. Yeah, everything about that, to me, is screaming Kine. That's weird. That's not what I was expecting at all. Oh, I just got chills. Through the speakers, we hear a kind, gentle voice. Stern, but kind. And he says, "Hello, I see you out there. Please, I'm not looking for any kind of trouble. I've been through a lot. I'm trying to rebuild here. If you've come to steal from me, please take whatever you want from the outside." And I think Jesse hears this and he pokes his head up from behind the barrels and he's like, "What? Hey, I'm Jesse." And he takes a step over. He's holding up his crossbow and his hammer and he's like, "I heard someone was staying here. Someone looking to rebuild, not just survive." And he's like, "Yes? Well, you've heard right. I've been on the radio." Did he hear us on the radio? Oh, goodness. When he said he arrived here, so he was already expecting us. Maybe the light wasn't even motion censored. Nearly certain. Did he hear us on the radio? Yes. He goes, "I've heard you on the radio when you arrived. They don't have a long distance radio, but I have a close one, and I heard you." He's like, "Yeah, I've come to meet you. I was, can I trust you?" "Well, if I was going to kill you, I feel like I would have done it already. I heard you arrive through the radio, and I kind of have the jump on you."
Yeah, I guess you got me there. This mission didn't really go the way that I had planned.
All the while, we need to remember that there is just crazy zombie noise coming from outside of this back, because it's like a back fenced in area. If you've ever been to a hardware store, and there's like just piles of stuff and probably like a warehouse or whatever. And so the front gate is just covered in walkers that are getting electrocuted and that are falling down, you know, so we can hear all that happening still. And Jay's like,
"Look, it's hard to talk to you out here. Can I come in? Can we talk?"
And I think, is the guy gonna let us inside? I really think that he is. So let's call it nearly certain he'll let us in. That's a 15, so yes. He's like, "Sure, you can come in, and I don't even mind." With the exceptional yes, he's like, "You can bring your crossbow, bring your hammer, come on inside. The code to the door is it actually a good code? This guy's military, so he probably actually tells him like a real code. I'm gonna roll a D100. The code is 8648. He's like, "All right," and he goes up to the door. Puts in the code, it's 48, and he steps inside. Now, what is going on the inside of this place? Is the door shuts behind him, like, shh, like, he's got power. I bet he's got air conditioning. It's probably covering a lot of that awful zombie noise outside. I wonder how big this hardware store is. Is it like a big old, like, Ace Hardware? Are we talking like a Lowe's? I don't know. We're gonna do some descriptors. I got locations. Element meaning locations, reassuring but cramped. So it's not that big in here. Or maybe it is big, but it's just full of stuff. Is it full of stuff? Exceptional, yes. So he's got a crap ton of stuff in here. Maybe even, so it's reassuring, right? To Jesse. So this guy was trying to rebuild. That's what he wanted to do. And it turns out that he's actually a nice guy that actually does want to rebuild, which is crazy to me because I thought this dude was going to be awful, but the dice told us all, guys. All right, so as he steps in, since it's reassuring and it's a crap ton of stuff, there's probably mattresses and like couches, maybe like old TVs, probably like cupboards, like furniture, just like packed in here. Maybe stuff that this dude has just been building with all of the hardware stuff this whole time for like a year. It's just him by himself. And he's just building furniture to be able to rebuild. He's got nothing better to do with his time, right? But this is a hardware store, so I'm not going to say that there's like food or anything else like that, but there could be seeds for farming. As he's walking by, he's looking at everything. Jay is seeing all of this stuff. And is there food for farming? I'm going to call it likely seeds for farming because hardware stores, they do sell seeds and soil and stuff like that. Exceptionally, yes, that's a 9. So he sees like packets of seeds and like soil and stuff. And he's like, godsend. So he sees all this stuff. And he comes around the corner of the shelf, and I picture there's just this big open area that has like 3 or 4 workbenches. There's like sawdust all over the ground from this dude like building this furniture. You know, there's like lights on everything and just like old 2x4s and stuff, like a project he's currently working on. And I bet it smells like sawdust and paint, which is kind of nice for Jay because Jay's used to that awful rotten zombie smell that he's been smelling for the past year. And so just to smell this beautiful, fresh, chopped wood and paint, and he's like, he takes a big ol' inhale of this. And then we see the guy. And I picture he's got like safety goggles on, and he puts them up on his head, and he's probably wearing a vest from the hardware store. Like, dude used to work here before the world ended. But what does he look like? dirty, casual. Yeah, for sure. That makes sense to me. He's got paint on his stuff, you know, a couple rips. Like, he's been working in his work clothes. But casual work clothes, got some blue jeans. Mysterious, yet aggressive. So as he walks up to Jay, you know, he's got a strange look in his eye. He's probably like bright, crazy blue eyes. Whatever race he is, he's got crazy blue eye. And he shakes his hand. He's got like these calloused up working hand. And it's the strongest handshake I think that Jay's had in a while. Because he's been shaking Torka's hand. And so when he shakes this man's hand, he's like, oh, you know, well met. Fuck. And his support is motivation. Support and control. I don't know what control means. That might be a little flaw, but support, right? So this is still good stuff. But I need to know, to be able to picture this person in my head, right? Military adversary, right? So we already know that. I did identity. I don't think that was right. So we're going to delete that out of the chat. Knowledgeable, yet social. We already know that. So that's very good. That just kind of continues to further what we already think here. So we're not getting what we want from those descriptors. So maybe let's do this. Mechanically healthy. Okay, so I'm getting a picture in my head. And I don't know if you guys are too, but just follow me on this. I picture a dark-skinned man, you know? Like a really nice, like, buff black dude with these beautiful, crazy blue eyes. Which is crazy for Jay, because, you know what I mean? He hasn't ever seen a black guy with beautiful blue eyes before, so he's kind of like, what? But you can see, like, he doesn't have too dark of skin, so he's got a bunch of military tattoos, like eagles and flags and stuff on his arms. And you can kind of see them a little bit, even through the darkness of his skin. And he's older. I'm picturing older, like, salt and pepper kind of hair, you know? I think he's still clean shaven because he's used to that from the military. So he still shaves his face as close as he can with the razors that he has. And his hair's still nicely trimmed. You know, he probably buzzes it every day. And he's got these crazy calloused, like, big hands. And I think he's wearing, like, a necklace that has, like, an eagle on it or something that resembles something from his time in the military. And this man, when he got out of the military, he started working at this hardware store, and it's just kind of just where he's been, and he just builds stuff. He teaches people how to build stuff. They come in, customers ask him questions, he answers them. He's really kind of kind, but I think he's very smart, knowledgeable, and stern, but he's very nice, you know? Older and wise, but very strong still. Like, the guy doesn't work out, but he's got like a natural health to him from his mechanical work that he does. And he's got to have, like, some Tims on, like, some tan boots. But, like, the tops of them, like, where the steel toe part is, because there's probably steel toe Tims, it's kind of, like, rubbing off, you know, so you can see the metal underneath. His blue jeans are a little bit ripped up. And I picture he has a silver tooth. Like, one of his teeth is, like, silver, you know, like, it got knocked out at some point, and he couldn't really afford to get, you know, like, the just, like, a different price difference. So he got, like, a silver tooth put in. And I think he shakes Jesse's hand. And he's like, finally, I've been waiting for someone to come and join me in this. I want to rebuild. Son, you look strong. You look worn. Please, have a seat. And he points to, like, I think it's probably like two nice love seat chairs with a little table in between. But one of them is like pristine, like it ain't never been sat in. And the other one's kind of like worn out. Like, this is where he sits after his long day to rest. And there's like a couple of glasses and like some scotch or something that he has there. And he's like, we need to talk. Sit. Jay's like, all right, thanks for letting me in. I was really worried, you know. I thought this was like a trap. He sits and it's nice. And he's been at the church for so long with no nice furniture. So when he sits in it, he's like, oh, and he gets like that relief off of his feet, you know, from walking and not being comfortable. And he sits and he just thinks in his head, he's like, I could fall asleep in this chair. And the guy, who still doesn't have a name, by the way, I'm gonna need you all in the comments down there to name our veteran hardware store guy. He sits as well, pours him some scotch, hands it to Jay, and he's like, I need to know more about you, my friend, before we can go out on this endeavor. I think, does he know that his front gate isn't going to last forever? I think, what is the quality of his electric fence out front? Higher the number, the worse it is. That's a 16. Oh, so it's great. So they have time. So he sits down and he's like, the fence will keep us safe. We can talk. I've reinforced it with electricity. As you can tell, though, around the back there are some holes made it in, so, you know, we can't talk forever, but I've been here. I've been building. I've been building furniture. I don't really have any friends. I got out of the army. I was alone. I didn't have a wife but the army.
I had some family, but they're all gone now. And yeah, I've been waiting for someone to come and join. I've told people, and no one trusted me. It seems that even you didn't trust me. I want to help. I want to rebuild. And I think Jesse's like, all right, man, I've come to the right place. And he tells him his full story. He sips on the scotch. He tells him the whole story and tells him about his family that he currently has now, tells him about the church, tells him their situation. And I think he's like, well, sounds to me that you've got a wonderful setup, but it's not livable. And you don't have, you know, furniture and things. I don't have enough room here in my cramped space, but I have the furniture. Maybe we can combine forces. And Jay looks at him and he goes, yeah, man, I think this is going to be a good friendship. And they cheers their scotch. And he's like, but first, what's your name? And then our camera's going to zoom out from the hardware store as the zombies are getting zapped and as the Yaw faction is running through the forest. And I think that's going to end episode 8. This is going to end our first arc of Family Survives Together. And when we come back in the fall, you guys, we are going to continue on our story. In the meantime, throughout the summer, I'm going to be playing a different TTRPG. Check that out on the channel. Do leave ideas and things below as much as you want and as much as possible. I'll include everything that I can. And remember that you can actually check the Google Doc for episode notes. By the time this one goes live, I think it'll still have episode 7 notes on it, and I'll wait about a week or two before I update it with episode 8 so you guys don't have any spoilers about what happened in this here episode. We need names, we need ideas, and we need things. And goodness, it feels good to be back telling this story. I was really hoping to fight this guy. I know that sounds insane, but I was really hoping to get in here and fight him, and that's why I prepared. But the dice, you guys. You never know what the heck is going to happen whenever you're doing stuff like this. You can't guess and hope and prepare, you know? So we have things to deal with, though. Letitia is in danger, but we have a new friend, and he might have some guns. He was ex-military. He might know where some are. They might be able to help us save Letitia. So, yeah, I have no idea how long this episode's going to be. I don't know, but do leave a like on this episode. And hey, if this episode reaches this one right here, reaches enough likes, maybe I'll come back sooner. All right, so share it around with your friends. And thank you so much for joining me on this journey. This has been One Guy, One Die. I'm Turk. Thanks for joining me on the Grouch Couch. Subscribe to survive. And I'll see you guys next time. All right.